Donald Trump will regain the presidency, but not without a war. A war. Don't let that alarm you. I'm not speaking of a world war. I'm not speaking, I don't know what I'm speaking. I'm not even speaking of a civil war. But Donald Trump, to regain his presidency, it will come with an all-out war. The war of his lifetime, the war of your lifetime, and the war of my lifetime. Tonight, I've come to recruit soldiers for this war. And I'm going to show you some things tonight from God's word that I hope will help you to understand what I mean when I say that he only regains this presidency with a war. The war began in 2009. There was a prophetic word that went forth, and I'm going to share that prophetic word with you in about 10 minutes. But before I can share that prophecy with you, no, it's not the Kim Clement prophecy that we're all so familiar with. It was another word that came to us even before Kim Clement's word. And it's an unknown prophetic word that's known to very few. And I plan to share it with you tonight. And I believe when you hear that word from the Lord, for those that are spiritual minded, the rest of you, I'm probably going to lose you tonight as far as this show is concerned or this class. But there are some listening that already sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when I give you this prophetic word from the Lord tonight, you're going to know what your role is going forward. I have a feeling this may become one of our most shared videos, and it's going to be shared to the underground, the prayer warriors, the intercessors, those that are going to be the most vital part of Donald Trump's return to the White House in the United States of America. But before I can give you that prophetic word, I must explain a few things to you, and that's the hardest part of my job, is having to explain things that we should have been explained to all of our lives in the church. But many people watching me now, you are good Christians, you believe the word of God, but there are some things you may not understand. Number one, why does God love America so much? Why has he blessed America? And why the message America First rang in your spirit the way it did? MAGA, it was a word from heaven. Make America great again. Why does God care about who our president is compared to all the other nations of the world? The reason that you don't know the answer to that is very simple. It's because you've not been taught in your church who America is. I have a series of videos over at firstharvest.tv called The British Empire or The British Throne, part one, part two, and I believe part three. I'll be doing more of those in the next few days. But it would do you well to go and research why America is so special to God. In fact, there was a prophecy given, an end time prophecy, when Jacob, Israel, was dying on his bed. And he placed his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said, "Let my name, Israel, be up on them." In those three videos, The British Throne, I show you how, and he talks about that was an end time blessing. And he said, "I will tell you what will be in the end of time." And he lays hands on those boys and says, "Let my name Israel be on those two brother nations." And he explains the end time destiny of those nations. I'll make it real quick. America and Great Britain are the predominant end time Israelite nations. Great Britain and America. Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is a modern end time nation of Judah, which is the brother of Israel. I do not have time to explain all of that in tonight's class, but I plead with you to watch that three-part series, and it breaks it all down with proof, historical proof. But for the sake of this class, America is an end-time Israelite nation. She is first in the eyes of God, just as Great Britain was, and just as the land of Israel is today. Those three nations compiled together create the end-time Israelite nations. God, Yahweh, has never allowed Israel to be destroyed without sending her saviors, men that would fight for her, men that would try to turn her around and make her great again, men that would come to stop the tide of evil that was introduced to this nation through Barack Obama. God has always sent a savior before Israel fell. I want to show you tonight who I believe that Donald Trump is in the Bible. Yes, in the Bible. You say, oh no, there's no way that Donald Trump is in the Word of God. Well, when I hear people say that, it causes me to wonder how much faith they have that the Word of God is a book that foresaw the end of time, which we are living in. You and I are living in the closing hours of the sixth day. If you want to know more about that, go to firstharvest.tv and type in 7,000 year, and all of that series will come up for you. You need to do more than go to church for praise and worship. You need to know the Word of God. Sadly, you may not get it at your local church. That's why we have built firstharvest.tv, where eagle food has been stored for Yahweh's eagles. Now, before I can show you in the Word of God who I believe Donald Trump is, I first have to explain one more thing to you. See, it took me all that time to explain that Israel, America, is an end-time Israelite nation. If I was speaking to my local church, I wouldn't have had to explain all that. I could have just said, and we know that America is an end-time Israelite nation, and they would have said amen. But on this class, I have to break it down. And that's what takes me so long to get to the point. Because if I get to the point without building these layers, you won't grasp the point. Does that make sense? All right. One other thing I need to explain before reading the Word of God to you. The Bible was written for all men, but specifically for Israel. Israel then and Israel now. There was a promise that the seed of Israel would multiply by the multiplied millions across the face of the earth. That seed would never die out. And there were specific end time prophecies for that seed line that's in the earth today. Now, the Word of God is dual in nature and sometimes triad in nature. When you read a story in the Bible concerning Israel, never make the mistake of thinking that just because it was fulfilled one time, that it will not be fulfilled again. Because first it happens in the physical, in that timeline, and then it happens in the ultimate fulfillment. Now, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe that the Word of God foresaw the end of time. But it did. When you read the book of Daniel, especially, and the book of Revelation, those books are sealed for the end time generation, which we are living in. So it would only be reasonable that the messages in those books would not be fully understood until the end of time, when they would be unsealed or unveiled or revealed. Now, many of the prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled already. They were fulfilled when the temple was destroyed. They were fulfilled with King Antiochus. And if you don't understand that they will be fulfilled again, then you will become a preterist. I won't explain all of that today. But when you get that the Word of God is fulfilled on multiple levels, then you can understand that whatever God had planned for ancient Israel will be repeated again for end time Israel, which you and I, living in America, happen to be part of. Now, I want to show you a man in the Word of God that fulfilled a role in ancient Israel. How many has ever heard the saying, history always what? Repeats itself. It's like we live in a cyclone. You need to watch my video series called The Upward Journey. Oh, wow, do you need to watch that series? It's over there on firstharvest.tv. Watch that, and that will make sense, what I just said. Round and round we go. Where it ends, no one knows. But we know that in God, what he did yesterday, he'll do it again tomorrow, he said. He said that that's in his word. What he's done before, he'll do again. There's nothing new under the sun. So keep that in mind. I'm fixing to read you some scriptures about ancient Israel. Now remember, America, Great Britain, and the land of Israel are the end time Israel nations. In ancient Israel, a man rose up to save Israel. Let's read about him, okay? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 26 and verse 27. I would encourage you to look it up in your own Bible. Don't ever believe what I say. Read it in your own Bible. 2 Kings 14, 26 through 27. And then after we read these verses, I'm going to give you the prophetic word that came forth in 2009. 2 Kings 14, 26 through 27. I'm going to read it from the book of Yahweh only because it's much easier to read, and to me it's the truest version of the Word of God. That's it there, the book of Yahweh. You can buy them only at, I think, yahweh.com in their bookstore. They're $49, but I do love this translation. 2 Kings 14, 26 through 27. Because Yahweh saw the bitter sufferings of Israel, and he saw that whether they were slaves or free, there was no one to help Israel. In other words, Israel was in trouble. She was bottoming out. She was going down into the pig pen. She was bottoming out. She was accepting gay marriage, transgenderism. All the foundations of society were crumbling under the yoke of abominations. And there was no stopping Israel. She was being converted to a new world order. She was being converted to globalism. She was being converted to doctrines of demons. And there was no one to save her. Let's read verse 27. But Yahweh had said, oh, I love that. Yahweh had said in the past that he would never blot out the name of Israel on the earth, under heaven. He would never allow the descendants, the natural descendants, not some super spiritual something called the church. No, no, no. He had said, I will never allow the natural Israel seed line to be blotted out or destroyed under the heaven. And he saved them, Israel, by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now, Jeroboam, the interesting thing about him, he was not, quote unquote, a godly man. He was not, quote unquote, a member of the Levites. He was not a minister. He was not a man of the temple that never said a curse word or that, you know, was upstanding, if you will. Yet, there was something in that man that God raised up to save Israel, to make Israel great again, to make Israel first among the nations. God chose a man. A man that no one expected to save Israel. Israel refers prophetically to America and Great Britain. Judah is the land of Israel over in Palestine, but Israel, and the reason people don't grasp this, they don't know the difference in a Jew and an Israelite. Please go watch my teaching on firstharvest.tv called The Scattered Seed of Israel for a better understanding of that. I believe with all of my heart that as we go in the upward journey round and round, and we find ourselves in end time Israel, that natural seed line, the nations of the world. And people think that God's all of a sudden, he was so involved in the nations in the Old Testament, but now he's not involved in the nations, setting kings up, taking them down. Oh, foolish man, don't believe such a thing. Please don't be among that lot of super spiritual New Testament Christians that you think that your God has changed to where all the nations are not lining up for the battle of Armageddon. Oh, don't be a foolish one. God has a plan, and to fulfill that plan, he has to have a man. Always. That's the way he works. Donald Trump was such a man that God chose to save America, to fulfill the role of an end-time Jeroboam. Now, if you'll go read in the book of Amos, chapter 7, I'm not going to read it here tonight, but you're going to find even more end-time prophecies concerning Jeroboam in Amos, chapter 7. Jeroboam is the leader of Israel in Amos 7, and that prophecy connects with the one I just read in 2 Kings, which shows how God used this leader to save America temporarily. Notice that word, temporarily, from her enemies. And this happened during the first term of Donald Trump's presidency. But that's not the end of the story, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 27 is not the end of the story. Verse 26 and verse 27 tells that God saw America. He saw Israel. He saw his nation in trouble, raised up a man to save it temporarily from Hillary Clinton's evil agenda that would be propagated through or from Barack Obama. You hear me, Barack Obama is the spawned child of Satan that came to America to bring America to her proverbial knees, to introduce transgenderism to our children, critical race theory. Every demonic doctrine came when Barack Obama came to power under that Jezebel, Oprah Winfrey. Yeah? Are you hearing me now? Because I'm about to plow into this thing. And God saw that if he didn't raise up a man to stop temporarily the agenda of Obama, which the Hillary Clinton presidency would have been the third term of the Obama agenda, reimagining America, because he hates America, that old traditional America, you know, apple pie, July 4th, guns and God, you know, that America. God raised up a man temporarily to save us from that agenda. But I would like for you to read with me now the rest of the story. Verse 28 of 2 Kings 14, verse 28. Read it in your own Bible. Now, if you don't believe that what happened yesterday will happen again, then none of this is going to make sense to you at all, and I get that. But if you believe, as I do, that there's nothing new under the sun, that history keeps repeating itself over and over and over, if you believe that, then this is going to make perfect sense to you. 2 Kings 14, let's go back there, and I want to read verse 28 to you now, what I believe will be the second term of the Trump presidency. This is after Jeroboam saved America, saved Israel, same thing. What comes next, verse 28? Now the rest of the acts of the king Jeroboam and all that he did, his power, and how he made war, and how he recovered for Israel what had belonged to Judah, Damascus. He recovered something from Damascus and Hamath. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And then Jeroboam died. All right. There was something that belonged to Israel that had been stolen by other nations. Sovereignty. Our way of life. Our faith in our God. Our Judeo-Christian values, if you will, had been stolen by these globalist leaders that hate America. Temporarily, Jeroboam saved America. But then, after he saved Israel, the next verse in 28 says he had to go to war to recover what had been lost. Verse 28 gives us insight to what is happening during the pause in the Trump era, the Trump rule, the Trump reign, if you will. Between that first and second term, there is a pause between verse 27 and verse 28, and there is something. See, he did not war in verse 26 and verse 27, but in verse 28, after he saves Israel, he goes to war to recover something. I believe that God is giving us an insight here into the pause between the first and the second term. It was prophesied he would serve two terms. It was never prophesied it would happen back to back. That's why Letitia James's strategy is falling apart. That's why the prosecutors in New York resigned, because their case fell apart against God's chosen man. Yes, a man that cusses like a sailor. A man that I would never allow in my pulpit. But God chose him. And you better keep your hands off of him, or God will show you what he does with men like Jeroboam. God commissioned Mr. Trump to save America in verse 27. But notice in verse 28, You remember when I started tonight's class, I told you it won't come without a war. The first term was a temporary reprieve for America. Donald Trump's next term, he will have to war to reclaim it. Stolen. Jeroboam went to war to reclaim for America what was stolen, to reclaim from Damascus and Hamath what was stolen. And I believe it was his election, because the enemy is determined to bring their agenda to pass. Now, with all of that said, the question then comes in, can Trump do it? Can Trump survive? Can he endure? Can he? He absolutely can, and he absolutely will. Why do you believe that, Professor Toto? Because of the prophetic word in 2009. I know you've been waiting to hear it. I'm going to read it to you. It came forth at 9:21 p.m., February the 10th, 2009. And here's the word of God. Thus saith Yahweh, I have lifted up a hammer over the United States, and I am about to strike at the very heart of this nation. That was what? 7 years before the election of Donald Trump. Seven. The word of God said, I'm lifting up a hammer over the United States. A hammer. And I'm going to strike not at the nation, but at the heart of the nation. What is the heart of a nation? The seat of government. We know that the heart of Israel is what? Jerusalem, Mount Zion, where the government is. According to this prophetic word of the Lord, there was going to be a hammer in the hand of Yahweh that was going to rise up. Oh, hallelujah. See, I told you somebody was going to. The minute I said the prophetic word would go forth, somebody out there just picked it up. That spiritual antenna just grabbed it. The return of Donald Trump, God's hammer, will be because we all went to war to reclaim what was stolen. Ha! Shanda da Bahaya. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. God spoke in this prophecy that he would raise up a hammer, which is a judgment over the heart of the nation, Washington, D.C. You don't have to guess the meaning of the hammer. Oh no, God's word always interprets God's word. He said in Jeremiah 23 and 29, is not my word like fire and like a hammer which shatters a rock? So as a hammer, God just told you the purpose of the hammer is what? To shatter a rock, an unmovable, impenetrable swamp. A hammer crashes a rock. So as a hammer, Yahweh's word serves as two purposes. Number one, to destroy what stands against the people of God. The agenda of the left. God said, I'm going to raise up a hammer that will destroy this seemingly impenetrable agenda of the liberal left, abominations of God. I'm going to raise up a hammer that will strike it. But the hammer does something else, does it not? Doesn't the hammer also build? Second term. First term, destroy. First term, reveal. First term, shake up the rock. Crack it open. Show the world what's inside of it. I'm going to raise up a hammer over the heart of the nation. 2009, 7 years before God drew forth his hammer and slung it at Washington, D.C. But the hammer doesn't only destroy. The hammer builds. It creates something of value. It makes America great again. The word of the Lord goes forth against the heart of the United States to destroy a fortress, which in this case is every system and every law of man that is in opposition to Yahweh. Every spirit that drives these systems, every George Soros, every Schwab, every member of all of these societies and all of these technocrats, God said, I'm going to raise up a hammer and hit it so hard that they won't even know what happened to them. Have you ever wondered why Trump won't just shut up about the stolen election? Every interview, if he would shut up, he wouldn't make them so mad at him. Why don't Trump just shut up about the election, run again? Why does he have to always throw that in? It was stolen. Because he is the hammer. He is the hammer of Yahweh for the nation of Israel. Round and round we go. He says it was stolen because the hammer of the Lord keeps beating at the rock to reveal the rot. You could say that the United States political system is in for a pounding, and the name of that Trump is Don. The name of that Trump is Donald. That's why God said through his servant Kim Clement, I will raise up the next president. His name will be Donald. Do you know why God told that to Kim Clement in 14? Because he had told it to us in 09. I will raise up a hammer. And now he finishes that prophecy. I will raise up a man by the name of Donald. And the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, God raised up that hammer, pounded away at the United States and saved America temporarily, holding back the agenda of the left. But the enemy came back in, and now Donald Trump must return to finish his work, but it will be after war. This is going to be a war like you've never seen. And if you've gotten tired, if you've lost your faith, if you've lost your drive, if you've lost your passion, we can't use you in this war. But if you're out there listening to me tonight and you hear the voice of God calling you back to the battle, welcome. Let's fight, because this will be restored, and we will without fail recover all that the enemy has attempted. Hear the word of the Lord. The good news is, when God's judgment is completed upon the heart of this nation, we will once again sing America the Beautiful and hold our heart over the national anthem. She will be precious in God's sight again when executive orders and laws can be passed in a Congress and a Senate that is controlled by Donald Trump to undo these godless transgender laws, these godless laws that have brought America to her knees. Right now, we're witnessing what looks like a defeat, but I say it is a pause for the war. For the war. I don't know if you saw yesterday when they asked Romney why he didn't want Donald Trump to come back. Do you know what he said? I was going to play the video for you, but I don't have it pulled up. Try to find it. He said that if Donald Trump returns, he fears that it will be the end of the world order and the United Nations. Wow. What happened to America first? When did we care more about a world order and a United Nations than we do a United States of America? Starting back in June of 15, when Donald Trump announced his run for president, the Lord's hammer began striking at the heart of our nation. It's a present reality that really started with Trump's rise through the populist and the nationalistic mood of ordinary citizens that believe that the political system is a rock that's impenetrable, that no longer represents the common man. That's why we love Donald. He fought for us against the rock, that rock that doesn't hear us say we want to raise our own children. We don't want you to educate them about sex. We don't want you to teach them about race theory. Let us teach our children their morals and their compass. You teach them math and their ABCs. That's a rock that seems to be pressing down upon the normal citizen. Donald Trump has been raised to break that rock that presses against the people of Israel, the people of America. The U.S. political system has become a fortress against Americans, against mom and dad, against apple pie and guns in the closet. We're no longer fighting the New World Order. We're fighting Congress to leave us alone. They're pressing against the people, and God's raised a hammer to press against them. To the surprise of the political establishment, Trump is just not one that will sit idly by and take all that they're throwing at him. He fights back. He's a warrior. And remember verse 28, Jeroboam warred to take it back for America. Round and round we go. And I believe we're there again today. God chooses one who is from their world. Many people watching me, you know, you don't understand why God would choose a man like Donald Trump, a cusser, a fornicator, even an adulterer maybe, I don't know. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm right there with you. He was not my first choice. The F-bomb comes out of his mouth. I hate that. But you see, God had to choose someone from their world, from their business world, from their rat race. Do you know why? Because you and I are too good for that fight. Look at Mike Pence, will you? Good Christian man, right? Without all the other stuff, we won't talk about that. No, no, no. That's a dirt world out there in Washington. God had to have a dirt man. Yeah. Like it or not. Why? You and I, we're trying to be Christians. We turn out the other cheek. God says, I got to find a Jeroboam that I can use in their own game against them. Someone that's got a stronger backbone than all of them put together. Someone that doesn't know how to bow down. I propose that what we see is a man that God has raised up as one of his hammers to pound away, not only at the U.S. political fortress, but at the global elite order that seeks to destroy America and keep the common man throughout the whole world in bondage to a beast-like system. And by the way, just as Donald Trump was raised up by God, so was Barack Obama. I've often told you that Barack Obama created Donald Trump. Remember me telling you about the ship, the two sides of the ship going to extremes on both sides? Without a Barack Obama, we would never have voted in a Donald Trump. We would have went for a company man like Romney or somebody else that got their hair slicked just right, talking right. But no, God allowed Obama to come up so that we would vote in his hammer in 2016. For many Christians, the thought of the Lord using a man like Donald Trump is untenable. It's unimaginable. After all, his actions are very unchristian, are they not? Look at his immoral relationships and look at those personal mean attacks. Mean and harsh. This man is flawed. Where is the life of Christ in this man? I get it. However, when I step back from it all, consider it in the light of the word that we were given about a hammer, I've concluded that Trump must be from God's tool bag. Which would we rather have? A man who is so transparent. He said something the other night. I was watching an interview. He said, I've never smoked a cigarette and I've never drank alcohol. And I thought, wow, do you know why he stays ahead of them? His mind is not altered. God can use a man like that. A man who is so transparent that even his dark side is on public display. Or would you rather someone that is so opaque, someone that is so good at hiding that their dark side is hidden? Of course, we would prefer that they not have a dark side. But given the cards that we've been dealt, having such a transparent man, unlike anything we've seen in modern day politics, who mostly gets elected through their sneakiness and deception, it's sort of refreshing, to be honest with you, is it not? I'm not defending Trump. I'm defending the fact that God can and often does use a man that operates contrary to the religious order of the day. Doesn't the Lord have the right to take a man of many flaws, raise him up, put him in authority in order to expose the evil heart of the political system, not only of America, but of the whole world? Besides, he's lived in the heart of that beast system, has he not? Trump Towers, hello? Donald Trump didn't come from the church. He came from them. They were all best friends. But there was evidently a heart of pureness in Donald Trump that God saw he could use. Isn't he in a better position to pound away at them than one that's lived outside of that system? Whether you agree with Donald Trump or not, you like him or dislike him, the one thing he is doing is driving the political elite insane, along with the socialist and the communist, as he keeps upsetting their humanistic world order that has been built up in our generation. So far, Trump has been an unpredictable, contrary politician that none of us can figure out. But somewhere deep inside, we know that God is trying once again to save Israel from our own demise. He never allows us to fall without sending us a Savior. And I believe with all of my heart that verse 28 of 2 Kings is the day we're living in again, where after he saved America temporarily, he will now have to go to war to take it back and to fight for that. He won't play by their rules. They don't like that. Trump is tearing at the fabric of the so-called legacy of Barack Obama. There is only one thing, brothers and sisters, that matters now. God staying the hand of judgment off of America long enough for his son to return and establish his kingdom in America and in every hamlet, in every village across the world. Israel will be spared until the timing of our Lord's return. He's returning any moment, any day now, with his second coming. He's going to cut these days short. And when he comes, he will establish in the White House a godly, born again, son of Yahweh, a member of his government that has been trained in the furnace of affliction and that has obeyed the law of God and yielded to the righteous judgment of God, will one day sit in that White House when our Lord Yahshua the Messiah returns. We used to sing an old song in the church. Said, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. And we'll have no tempter then. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. And when he comes, he's going to set up his kingdom from sea to shining sea. Until such a time, he's raised up a deliverer for Israel, for America. Why do you think he moved our embassy to Jerusalem? God knows what he's doing. And now the war has begun. But in the end, we win. God bless you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you Monday night, Lord willing.